Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's the question? I think you just answer your own question, but that helps answer your question better. You're welcome.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay. We know the caller was wrong.
Yep.
That's why I asked him. He was like, nobody has ever won the Super Bowl the year after having a losing record. I go, it didn't like pop which years, right. But I'm like, that can't be right. I go, is that real? He goes, I looked it up.
Well, maybe I didn't do a little research on him too well.
Yeah, your chat GPT is broken. The Niners were 6-10 the year before they won their first Super Bowl. And I promise you, I shouldn't because I don't know this, but I'd be shocked if that's the only time it's happened. There's no way that every single Super Bowl winner was a winning team the year before.
That's a stat.
It's not a stat. We did.
Look it up.
We did. Happy Friday.
Right.
What was that, sir?
Kurt, you need to wait a few hours. Go ahead, Dan.
I'll do more of a... Don't say that. It's not a Dan day.
There were a bunch of Dans at the summit.
It's fine.
So it was kind of a Dan day, so now it's on my mind. We took at least five pictures where I'm like, this is me, and it's Dan, and then Dan. I felt like the old Newhart
show. There was one of the two Dans.
Exactly.
My brother Dan.
My brother Dan,
Darryl.
My other brother Dan.
Right.
Sorry for all the young people, you don't get that reference.
Right.
But anyway.
Newhart. I remember 1980 where they used to have a thing called the Junior 49er Miners Club.
Oh, yeah. I love the young people.
Just sit back for a minute, Grandy, and learn a little bit.
Do you know the Newhart show, Grandy?
No.
No. Lucas? No?
No chance.
No chance.
Do you know Berkeley Farms? Of course not. It was
I recognize that.
A milk company.
Yeah, milk.
Sponsor
Berkeley Farms. Yeah.
They had a Junior 49er Miner Club where they'd go to your community and say, like, hey, come to this meeting and we'll give you free tickets. And so we would go and we would get free tickets. That's the only way that we could afford to go to Niner games.
Did they need a junior and a minor club? Seems a little repetitive.
Yeah, I had to have a helmet and a light on and a pickaxe, Lucas. Like, the whole idea of minor.
Oh, minor.
Yes, as in 49ers. You understand that the 49ers are, it's about the gold rush, and you know the gold rush is about 1849?
Got it.
Right. My God.
A minor. Come on.
Well, that's a two. No, that's a different.
You don't do it too often.
It was then or never. My God.
It's up to a three.
Somebody's running around with the word minor. What do you want me to do? Save it to when I'm telling stories of my grading again?
Who was looking for gold?
A minor.
Thank you. That's much better.
There. Now do you get the reference, Lucas? I do love how you made it sound like milk is something that happened 30 years ago.
No, but...
You guys know Berkeley Farms? Yeah, it's milk.
Oh, he's not wrong. It's like, soy milk and all these other ones.
Well, that's true.
And you would get free tickets. You would get free tickets to the game at Candlestick, but they would be not only partially obstructed, but you would be like deep down the left field line and... I don't know if you remember Candlestick. I know you do,
of course.
But you kids, like, the
remember Candlestick?
For football.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most recent sport that played there.
Levi's only opened, like, 15 years ago.
The point is, the bleachers come out of left, right field,
yes,
all the way almost to the goal line, but the tickets that they would give us were so far down the right field line that you were basically obstructed from half the field.
The bleachers would come out in front of some of the other seats. That's true.
And those seats would be the freebies there that they gave you based on some milk company.
Which is telling me maybe that my dad once upon a time got freebies. Because I've sat over there. I didn't realize that he didn't pay for them.
So 1980, I was 12, and they were 6 and 10. The next year, we actually got tickets again. Thank you, Berkeley Farms. And I was there when the Niners beat the Cowboys 45-14 in the regular season.
Oh, I think that's the same game that I was at.
1981. You were one.
Maybe, because... That's what, and we were sitting over, we might have been sitting right next to each other.
That's crazy.
Because that's the story I've told you of the time that my parents bought me a foam finger and I brought it to the game, which sounds like something a 6-year-old would do.
Yep.
And I was so excited to hold up my foam finger at the Niner Cowboy game, and some dip bleep Cowboy fan was sitting right behind me. And instead of just being a man about it and leaning forward to either me or my dad, and saying, you know, I can't quite see when you're doing the foam finger thing. Instead, he leans over and whispers to a little kid, you put that foam finger up in the air one more time, I'm going to shove it right up your you-know-what.
No way.
Not kidding. Not lying, not exaggerating one little bit. I was terrified for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But we won. So then it was okay.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. See yourself to the exit. Jerk.
Yep. Yeah. 45-14, and then they would go on to win the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
And that's a team that was 6-10 the year before.
All right.
Apologies to the caller.
Yeah, but sorry.
Yeah.
You was wrong.
Anyway.
All right. Paul in Pleasanton next up here on Willie and Dibby. Kim Inman in about 8 minutes. Hi, Paul. What's up?
Hey, guys. Any team whose starting quarterback is from the 7th round, and I got to tell you, over the last, 7-8 years in this regime, every single first round pick except Bosa has been kind of blah or outright bust. And I put Pearsall in that too, because just look at all the wide receivers drafted after him who are, you know, doing pretty good in the league right now. This is a problem that this needs to be addressed. But I got a theory on this one that I wanted to run by you. It basically goes like this, right? The first couple of rounds, I think pretty much are Kyle and Lynch's decision. They might take some input from the scouts, but they personally have probably checked out those players, interviewed them, gone to the combine. It's their basic decision. And as you kind of go down to the fourth, fifth, sixth round, it's probably a lot more influenced by the scouts. So could that be it, that our scouts are a lot better than our top two guys and picking players?
Paul, thanks for the call. I don't think that's how it works at all. I think that's a perception. I think they listen to the scouts all the time. But I also don't think that I think that's kind of our perception that when it gets to day two and three, and for instance, Roger Goodell's not up there announcing picks anymore, it'll be some fan with a hat on that's waka, 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 the Chargers in the 7th round want Bob. So I think our perception is that it gets a little loose after that. I don't think that's what the war room is like. Brock Purdy, in fact, the story goes that they really liked him. And in the end, Kyle Shanahan was like, I want that guy with the last pick. So I still think it is their call from the beginning to the end. And I'm also going to push back a little bit, not on your larger point. The Niners have been bad this regime in the first round, but I'm going to push back on your point that only Nick Bosa was a good pick. I know it's fashionable right now because Brandon Ayuk's leg blew up. But that's not a miss. That's not a first-round miss. Neither is Ricky Pearsall. We're frustrated right now by injury. The only time we've seen him, he's been really good, and it's still really early. So I'm not going to blow that guy off. And then there's others that I think you could have some sort of a conversation about. You've often said that Mike McGlinchey, for example, he didn't stay with the Niners, but he got a big, fancy second contract by somebody.
That, to me, is a hit.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. That was not a bad player.
Not bad at all. And if you want to go chronologically, you start with Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, 0-for-2. McGlinchey, I think it's a hit. It's a base hit. It's not a home run.
Yep.
1-for-3. Nick Bosa, that's a home run.
Yeah, DPOY.
You're 2-for-4. Javon Kinlaw, that's a miss. Even though he's gone on to play football elsewhere, that's a miss. 2-for-5. Trey Lance, That is a strikeout with the bases loaded.
You skipped Brandon, though. You skipped Brandon
Ayuk. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, you are. It's the same year as Kinlaw and before Trey Lance.
My bad.
Yeah.
Ayuk, that's a...
It's a hit.
It's a double. I'll give you a double.
1,300-yard season. Yeah, it's a double.
Right. And then Lance miss. The next year is a miss because you traded the pick. And the next year is a miss because you traded the pick. Ricky Pearsall, I mean, he's at the plate right now.
Yeah.
And the count is probably... I'll give you a full count.
I think jury has to be out on both Pearsall and Mikel Williams.
Well, Mikel Williams is just getting the batter's box to me.
Exactly.
But those for Pearsall, I mean, Pearsall's in there, and it's a full count. Like, either he comes back this year and he plays well, or he doesn't, and he comes back next year and he can be healthy and plays well. I think that Pearsall is still in his first at-bat.
D-Dubs in Rincon Valley. Hey, D-Dubs, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I started thinking about what people would think if Brock had led this team right now to 6-3, where we would be at with people saying, oh, he's like bringing us to the promised land. He's so great dealing with all these, you know, these no-namers. But yet the reality is we have Mac in there, the Mac 10, the Natty winner, the Heisman Trophy winner in the strongest SEC of all football. I don't really hear anybody going, man, this guy's killing it. Mac is built like a football player. Brock is not. And to your Berkeley Farms comment, born and raised in Sonoma County, Petaluma Co-op Creamery back in the day, Brock grew up drinking juice packs. He's not built like a football player. He goes down, he's got a finger injury. He goes down because he's got a toe injury. Mac is in there almost on a gurney every day, killing it. I'd really like to hear your take on what people would think if Mac wasn't the guy leading us to 6-3 and it was Brock. Would it be a different take on how people look at this team?
I don't even know how to answer that, to be honest with you.
I don't like the juice call.
Mac Jones did not win the Heisman Trophy, and I can't stand when people do this where it's like, well, he's built like this, so he's a football player. Joe Burrow is the number one pick in the draft. He actually did win the Heisman Trophy. He's built like a truck. He has the same injury as Brock. It's way more severe, actually, and he's out for the year. So why? Why do you do that?
Lamar Jackson's built like Usain Bolt.
Why?
Like,
why?
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Like, that's almost like, that's like got a discriminatory vibe to it. Like, Steph Curry's tiny. He's one of the greatest players ever.
And if you look at Brock Purdy, he is like sneaky thick.
Wow, that got different.
No, I mean, he's like, he's big, dude. Brock Purdy's not like a skinny little flower.
You better be careful.
Yeah, neither is Cam Inman, and he joins us next. He is in good shape. He works out. I asked. It's a Football Friday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. Cam Inman, who will be on YouTube, by the way, with the latest on the injury list and more coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, it feels a little bit like a death march. Honestly.
Whoa.
But didn't it when they went down there on Thursday night?
It what sure did.
8.5-point underdog.
Something like that.
Next thing you know, it's 14-0. So I'm not saying they can't win this game. But the 49ers this weekend, I have no idea who's playing defense. I don't know who's playing defense off and on for the rest of the season. So how are they 6-3? We'll get to that. We'll get to all of it. Our guy on the Niner beat, Cam Inman, joins us now live on the River Islands guest line on YouTube as well. And is ready to rock. Hey, Cam, you're looking good, man. What's going on?
Thank you. Welcome into the Cam Inman Portrait Gallery at Levi's Stadium in the Eastern Wing. Yeah, it's looking good here.
Yeah, where are you? You look like you're in a booth at an Italian restaurant right now.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, it's original jazz. No, I'm in Levi's Stadium in their East Side Club. It's just right outside the media room, outside the auditorium where we just got the injury update from Coach Kyle Shanahan.
Take us through that injury update, because I know a bunch of guys are questionable, but who do you expect to actually play? Is D. Winters, for example, is he going to play?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a concern yesterday, because D. Winters and Alfred Collins showed up on the injury report yesterday with not practicing, but D. Winters was back out there today practicing. He was walking through the locker room. He's got knee injuries, but he's getting around okay, so I expect him to play. Tatum Bethune is questionable, but he's going to play. Brock Purdy officially listed as questionable, but Mac Jones will start, which I'm sure you guys have already talked about. Keon White, their new defensive lineman, Collins, and three guys got hurt yesterday in practice, which isn't great. Kalia Davis was the other one. I think they're all going to play, except maybe I'm not sure about Alfred Collins, because he's got a hip issue and he didn't practice today. And during the snippet that we saw of practice, he was limping pretty gingerly over to watch the defensive line warm up. So, and you know, he was the guy that pretty much played the heroic role on the goal line against the Rams a month ago and forced that fumble and recovered it. And he, you know, helped out on the 4th-and-1 stop. So that's an issue, but they are getting back Bryce Huff. He's not questionable. He's full go. So that is the ray of sunshine I can give you. And Ricky Pearsall is out. Obviously, Mykel Williams is out. Those are the two guys that are officially out.
Yeah, and that it sucks. I mean, Ricky Pearsall, hopefully someday he'll be able to come back and play. But I want to ask you more about the Brock Purdy part of it, because if Brock is activated and if Adrian Martinez is not, does that signal the end of Adrian Martinez as a Niner?
I don't know if they would do. I'm not expecting them to do that. I would expect Adrian Martinez to still be the number two. But there was, I tell you what though, last week when we were in New York, there was questions because Brock was listed as questionable, whether he was going to be a number three emergency quarterback because you're allowed to designate a guy among the inactives, but he could suit up as the number three. But the Niners haven't done that. They've just kept two quarterbacks in uniform, even though it was the Brock Purdy rule that allows them to sneak in a number three. I just get the feeling that they're just going to keep riding it the way it has. And then once Brock's healthy, I mean, this is all, you know, presumptuous on our part, but once he's healthy, he's supposed to go back and start, and then that would make Mac the two. And I think they like Adrian Martinez a lot, but nobody's seen him play. He's never played an NFL down. Really nice kid. Well, actually, he did play a down. He took the victory snap on. He took the most important, the best down you can have in football. Yeah. And actually, I asked him about it. He said, white 18, Hutt. He got the ball, and off they went.
Yeah, negative yardage, though, Cam. They lost yardage on the play, so I don't know how effective it was. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group with us. Cam, I think you'll know where I'm coming from on this. And we started the conversation last week, but I'll extend it to Ricky, too. Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall. What the hell is going on? Like, how on earth, based on how these things sounded 5 weeks ago, are we here? How is that possible?
The human body doesn't heal as fast as you want it to.
Well, right.
I guess that's the simple way to put it. I mean, look, it's not like, okay, in 3 weeks your ligaments are fixed. The turf toe one is mysterious, right? So nobody knows much about it. And it's really dependent on how Brock feels. And to be honest, I can't speak for him because Brock hasn't spoken for the past month about it. So anybody that's making assumptions on how he feels, nobody's talked to him in a month, right? Shanahan says he talks to him every Saturday, see how he's doing, and then gauges whether he's going to suit him up or not. With Ricky, we can see Ricky run on the side, and he's in a good mood, and you know, there's no knee brace on him or anything. So you'd wonder, okay, well, what's going on here? It's a PCL. It can take 4 to 6 weeks, and we're at the 6 week point. And he is, he was running yesterday. He looked pretty good, but Shanahan said he is not hitting the, I mean, this is where you get into the data analysis of pro sports, which I don't really like. But the reason that they rely on it, and Kyle explained this, is if he's not hitting the benchmarks, that makes him prone to aggravating that injury and getting hurt again. Which obviously this franchise is under so much fire for how many guys get hurt. I can understand them wanting to lean on the side of caution so you don't intentionally hurt guys again.
Is the reason that they didn't put him on IR that either A, they didn't assess it and the severity, or B, they already have so many guys who are IR designated to return that they can't afford to cram more people on that list?
I think it's all of the above because, you're only allowed a certain amount, but we're just at the halfway point of the season, right? And, you know, and then there's also the, well, we were hoping he was going to get heal up faster than he did. So I think you can assume anything you want, but the IR stuff's a little bit tricky, but I don't know why anybody would ever get up in arms over it because now it's, you know, there's more guys that you can come back off IR than there used to be in years past. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of gamesmanship that's involved in the roster shuffling. But there's also hope that this guy can come back and play. And in Purdy's case, you don't want him on IR because you want him to be able to practice and kind of stay and keep his arm in shape and kind of keep in rhythm with the offense. And he can't do that if he's on IR.
Cam Inman is with us, Bay Area News Group, live from Levi's Stadium here, Willard and Dibs. Cam, I wonder this. Kyle said publicly yesterday that he is, quote, pretty confident that we're going to see Brock Purdy at some point this year. When you see that in print, it makes you go, oh, God, you're not, like, fully confident? When I heard him say it, the tone was sort of dismissive, like, yeah, I'm pretty confident. But do you think there's something there? Is there any chance that we're not going to see Brock this year?
Well, I think there's always a chance because maybe it just they just keep him stashed, hoping it gets better and better, and maybe saving him for the playoff. I think, I mean, if he's not going to play the rest of the year, why is he practicing every week? So, I mean, yes, I think you're assuming that he's going to come back. I don't think you need to leap to that conclusion. And it's more of the hot take question. Is he coming back? Well, I would think he's coming back. But, like, this is also the same coach who said none of us are guaranteed to be alive on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So just you got to leave yourself the wiggle room.
Yeah, I mean, wiggle room on that. But the other one to me that is a little bit head-scratching is Brandon Ayuk, where, you know, all the talk was, you know, in camp before the season started, oh, he looks pretty good. And then even in recent days, he's running full speed. What do you think is the timeline of him having his practice window be open?
I don't know, because a few weeks ago, Kyle threw out the, like, they were very hesitant to give anybody timelines, obviously, because they don't want to rush somebody back. But when Kyle was kind of asked a few weeks ago, like, maybe week 10. Well, we're in week 10, and there's no sign of him even running on the side, although I guess he does that in the mornings. And they need him, but I mean, also they're getting by with Kendrick Bourne pretty well. Juwan Jennings is, I had a good discussion in the locker room with Juwan Jennings today, just talking about like cornerbacks and the Rams and how they install a lot of new plays, even though it's, you know, they're playing the Rams again. And so it's like these wide receivers, they're not bums. I mean, you got McCaffrey with the seventh leading receiver in the NFL. You got Kittle. They're 6-3. I don't think that they're in a position where they have to rush somebody back. If this is week 16 or 17 and you absolutely needed a wide receiver out there, absolutely needed Brock Purdy out there, I think you'd see them. But I think you're at midseason, so you can exercise caution.
Cam, I would say, you know, and we have, this is something we've been discussing so far. I'm not saying any of these decisions are wrong, but when I look at the Niners' actions so far in not rushing Purdy, not rushing Ricky, obviously Brandon is still sitting out there. Trade deadline, relatively quiet. I know they got someone the week before. But when I look at all that, is it fair to say that the 49er front office is not necessarily, I don't want to say they don't believe in this team, but they're not the biggest believer in the idea of just this year?
Well, they've said that, like, that this is kind of more of, I don't want to say that. I don't know, maybe Lynch even said it was like a reset. Because it's obviously a transition on defense, right? And so I think the expectations were lowered, but they'll never publicly say that because you're in the hunt. I mean, if you make the playoffs, which they should, and then next thing you know, you're in the Super Bowl in your home stadium. You don't want to say, God, we didn't expect to be here. But I think those are the expectations have been tempered, and obviously the injuries play a part of it. But again, you know, they're coming off a pretty sizable win in New York on the road, going back to their atmosphere, and they put over 30 points on the board for the first time. So as much as we're in this dark gloom of injuries every day with the Niners, and there's always questions, like, I'm so tired of talking about rehab and timelines. It's like, there's actually football to like talk about during the season. And like, there's a lot of this talk about hypothetical players stuff is really off season talk that we can get into. But I mean, right now they're 9 games into this. So they're just past the halfway point, or maybe they're at the halfway point. Cause it could be going into the playoffs, and it's rivalry week, and they're playing the Rams, and it's like, should be talking about Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and whether the Niners are going to be able to score as many points as them.
Yeah, I love it. And let's get into the football part of it because, yeah, it's Rams week. And, you know, they were able to beat them last time on a short week on a Thursday. What did they do last time that is repeatable here that gives you some sort of positivity about them being able to beat the Rams, Cam?
I think they have to force a turnover at the 1 yard line. It's a secret of their success.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. It's repeatable. It's simple. Sure.
I mean, I, you know, one of my keys to the game is going to be just they have to win the turnover battle. It's the only way they're going to keep up with them. And this is a team that, I mean, the Niners still, I mean, they had the interception in Houston, but that's one interception in the past 16 games. That's still the lowest bar in NFL history, right? They need to somehow pick off Stafford, who's only thrown 2 interceptions all season. So somehow get a pass rush on him. Or, I mean, you know, he'll throw it deep. He'll give them opportunities. So those cornerbacks and safeties just have to be like the head on a swivel and be ready to turn around and make a play on a ball. And then the linebackers, they're going to get picked on because there's no Fred Warner in this game for the first time since 2018 that Fred Warner will not be part of a 49er Ram game. And those linebackers are going to get attacked. They're going to have Puka Nacua running crossing routes and throwing slants to Devontae Adams. So they have to make some hard contact and try to jar the ball loose.
Mm. That's fair. Yeah. What? And Cam, we know you got to run, but I want you to weigh in on this before you do. And that's the return of Bryce Huff. The last time he was there, Sunday Night Football, and the pass rush looked sort of almost maybe encouraging, right? Yeah. Like how much of a difference does it make?
I think it makes a great difference. And we can, you know, even I asked Shanahan that, and he's like, obviously it's a huge need with guys getting hurt, but okay, and I posted this on my Instagram at 49ers.cam today, but like we're only allowed a little brief media windows on Fridays. So I was kind of at the far field and I was recording the linemen, defensive linemen doing this figure eight deal where they run around these circles. And it looked like the slowest drill I've ever seen. Mind you, it's in warmups, okay? So I'm not going to rip them on that. But the last guy that's running anchor leg and all this out of the 12 healthy linemen still is Bryce Huff. And he's going around and cruising through. And then like the last little burst where he gets so low, he looks like he's just like, he looks like a speed skater in the Olympics, how low he gets. And I'm like, that's cool because you can like duck under an offensive tackle and be on Stafford, and that's going to make a big difference.
Huge difference. And maybe that would force one of those turnovers you're talking about. Cam, great stuff. We thank you very much. Cool vibe doing it from inside the Italian restaurant at Levi Stadium.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, you too. All right. We'll talk to you again soon. There it is. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group. While we're talking Niners, by the way, kickoff show this Sunday with Hall of Fame nominee Lo Neal and Evan Giddings starting at 11 a.m. live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. All the early games we're going to be on. They've got food. They've got drinks. They've got games in the parking lot. If you're going to the game, we got that free shuttle from Laughing Monk to the stadium and back. It is free, but you must sign up, and you should do that now because when things are free, they go fast.
Yep.
So go over to the website, 957thegame.com. First come, first serve, and sign up for the free shuttle, 957thegame.com. Yeah, Bryce Huff is back. So there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Stafford is not that mobile of a guy, and that's, to me, that's the thing. I feel like we've, even going into last year's games against the Rams, the Niners, and maybe this is actually 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? They went to the Rams early and won a game 30-23. That must have been two seasons ago. But Stafford was kind of carving him up, and he did a little dump off to Kyren Williams, and it bounced off of his hands, and it turned into a 49er interception, and it really was one of the keys to a Niner victory. Outside of that, I feel like when we watch this team play, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan know each other so well. They know the deal. Get the ball out of the hands of the quarterback ASAP. And so that's what they're going to try to do. And if Bryce Huff can make noise like he did in the Atlanta game, maybe they got a shot to knock the ball into the wrong place from Matt Stafford to change the game.
And, I mean, like Cam was saying, and he was kind of joking as, like, keys to the game, but that was the key to the game, and we'll do our 10 reasons why they're now 6-3, and that play is definitely one of them where, you know, Kyren Williams is going in for a touchdown, and you had Collins beat a double team and slapped the ball out, and they recovered it, and the game turned from there. But you look at last year, and the Rams came here, and they won 12-6 in a game that was ugly.
Oh,
you and I were both there.
Yeah,
and
it was pouring.
That was the Devondre Campbell quit game as well, and then the other game before that, the Rams won 27-24, and that was earlier in the year, and the Rams won 21-20 the previous meeting. So these games are always close. I'm not saying that the Rams are so much better they're just going to come here and blow the Niners out. It'll probably be a close game no matter what, and it comes down to who makes the big play.
Yeah, it's an intimidating game, though, for the 49ers, considering their circumstances. Now, many of them are, but the Rams right now, it's a little bit in the weeds. But the Rams coming into the season, you know, I'm mindful of like that conversation we had with Bucky Brooks when we asked him who's going to win the West. And he didn't answer like, oh, I think the Rams are going to win. He answered like, you're like a moron if you don't think the Rams are going to win.
He laughed at us.
Yeah. He's like, oh, the Rams. Like, who on earth would think anything else? And if you look at them, the last few weeks especially, I think they already had their bye.
Yep.
And there are people who think that this is the class of the NFC. The class of the NFC.
Right?
Like, no Philly, no Detroit, no Green Bay. Rams.
Well, and if you look at the Rams, like, the only game that you would look at as kind of a hiccup was the Niner game.
Mm-hmm.
And they both run a short week, and darn it, I should have seen it last night, and that's where I'm kicking myself over a divisional game on a Thursday night. It's always going to be close, and I took the Broncos, and I laid the 8.5, and, you know, the Broncos were better than the Raiders most of the game, but they could not score. Their offense sucks. But these divisional games on Thursday night, they're kind of a little bit up in the air, and I think that's where the Niners benefited from the first matchup.
I mean, if you want to go Rams, Ramsalytics here for a second, remember their other loss, it looks like not that bad of a loss because it was at Philly, and they lost by a touchdown. But do you remember that game? The Rams crushed them for three quarters, and then things got completely out of hand.
That was the block field goal, right? And the block six?
Correct. Even with all things considered, the Rams lined up to win the game with a field goal, and it got blocked in return for a touchdown, and they lost in Philly by seven. But I would argue, if you watch that game, they were the better team for more quarters than the Eagles were.
Yep.
So there's that. Then there's the Niner one. It goes OT. You all know the story there. The Niners were there in week five. They win 26-23. Now, there's a bye week tucked in here. But I want you all to hear it's a stat. You ready for this stat?
Thank you. Coming up at 550.
Do you want to know how many points?
That's a stat.
This is a stat.
Look it up.
I am. Do you want to know how many points the Rams have given up since week five when the Niners scored 26?
I do want to know, but I already know. So I'm going to play dumb. Like, how many, Mark, in three games? Like, have they given up 80?
20.
Thank you, Grandy.
Giving up
that.
20 points.
A game.
In 4 weeks.
Oh.
Yes, one of them was a bye.
But not. No.
20.
No. 20 a game.
No.
Right?
No, 20. And then the sentence ends.
20.
20 points. Now, there's some things to throw in there. One of them was against Cooper Rush in Baltimore. And
he threw for 72 yards in that game.
He's a disaster.
He could spin it.
And one of them was against the Saints in what was Tyler Shuck's first ever game.
Oh, shucks.
Or first ever start as a professional. They also, though, went overseas and woodshedded the Jacksonville Jaguars in an embarrassing performance for Trevor Lawrence. They're blowing people out, okay? They won 3 weeks ago by 14. Then they beat Jacksonville by 28. Then they beat New Orleans by 24. They are absolutely humming right now. And they are fully. You want to talk about something that no other NFL team can say? You want to know what this group is? Healthy.
Mm.
Totally and completely. Please don't call their third offensive lineman. I don't want to hear it.
I saw the injury report yesterday.
This is a healthy football team.
The Niners had 14 guys listed as either full, limited, or non. The Rams had three. And one of them was Puka Nacua, who he's going to play.
He's going to play.
And you mentioned the offensive lineman who I'd never heard of. Who,
yeah.
He was limited. Or maybe he's out. Right?
The backup tight end has got a hangnail. Great.
Yep.
The Rams are they're the team. Look around the NFL. There's one team that right now is like, dude, we got all our guys. It's the Rams. What does that feel like?
Well,
I have no idea what that feels like.
And they are super motivated, not only because, like, if you beat the Niners, then now you're in control in the division.
It's a massive game.
But they beat you in, I mean, whose house? Niners' house.
Yeah, Niners' house.
I get that.
Yeah.
But, like, that for the Rams right now is that's their embarrassing loss. The Eagle was fluky. The Niners.
It was crazy.
The Niners took you out 14-0 early. Pop. That's the one that you look at. If you're a Ram, you look at that game and you think, man, that should have never happened.
I agree with you, but I don't really believe in revenge games in football. I'm like, what are you going to do? Come out and play aggressive? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just how football is. You're going to come out and try to decapitate whoever you're playing,
right?
Figuratively.
But you're going to come out and not, like, fall down 14-0. I think the Niners caught them off guard in L.A.
Matt Stafford threw for 389 yards that day.
Not enough.
The Niners won.
Right?
Well, yeah.
It was crazy.
Because they handed it off in the most important play.
Well, and Blake Corum coughed up a pitch, and you lost the ball at the goal line,
yep.
And you ran a stupid play on 4th-and-1, but yeah.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned this yet today. The Warriors are in Denver for the NBA Cup. It is Cup game number one. Tip off at 7, Warriors live with that guy, the freshly shaven Mark Grandy, starting at 6 p.m., presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place, Xfinity, imagine that. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Dibs has been kind of previewing this a little bit. It's a fun exercise. We always ask, how are the Niners 6-3? Well, we are going to use play-by-play, highlights, memories to explain not only how the Niners are 6-3, but basically how close they are to being 0-9. And that's coming up next here on Willard and Dibs.
Obviously, there's a risk with everything.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, this ought to be good. This ought to be real good.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We got a lot to do here. You got to make a couple picks.
Oh, yeah. Do I really?
You do. You do.
Your what's boy's the, on the ropes.
24 and 16?
Something? That sounds right.
24 and 15. Yep. What are we at?
One sec.
Look it up.
I think it's 24 and 16.
Is it?
Yeah. Correct, 24 and 16 24 after and 16. He picked Denver minus 8.5 last night, and they won by just 3.
That was an Ottoman game for those who faded.
Yes.
That was never, ever, ever, like nobody was going to even get enough points to cover an 8.5. They barely scored 8.5 points.
So we're at the summit, and we did the pick live, and you got everyone to clap and cheer and fade, and that was fun. And then...
I felt it. I wouldn't have done that unless I was like... Actually, yes, I would have.
You would have.
But anyway.
It doesn't matter. So as I'm leaving at like 6:15, and I'm walking to the car, and I've got my stuff, my personal effects, and I'm walking by the crowd that is still slowly thinning out because people loved it.
Dude.
About 8 people in the crowd see me leaving.
Hey, 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 hey.
And at that point, the Raiders were up 7-0 and whatever, on the way to, I don't know, not scoring ever again.
Ever again.
And
so I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
So by the time I got home, Denver's up 10-7. I'm thinking, all right, this game is like, it's fugly. I can say that.
You did.
And it didn't get dumped.
The Raiders lined up, I think, with about 5 minutes to go, lined up for a field goal, tie the game. It didn't go through the two yellow thingies.
No, and even at that point, I'm thinking, okay, whatever. Denver's not going to score again. It was the sequence before that where what's-his-nuts?
Franklin.
Troy Franklin.
He stinks.
Oregon legend.
Yeah, he doesn't stink, actually. You're like my dad.
He caught a touchdown in this game, Dibs.
You watch sports the way my dad does. It's pretty funny.
Troy?
No,
catch the ball, Troy?
No, not that. Not that. I just mean that, like, somebody will do something for, I mean, it could be 6 months. It could be 4 years in the league. And then you get to officially take a good look at him in a game that you care about.
Right.
And if they're bad that night.
They stink.
This guy sucks.
Awful.
Like, in other words, Rafi Devers could put up a 900 OPS for the year. But if my dad had tickets to a game in August and Rafi takes an 0-for-4, he's like, I looked. He's terrible. We got to get rid of him.
I've never loved your father more. Troy Franklin, you stink.
Troy Franklin is a good young receiver. He's a good young receiver.
Yeah, he wasn't when I needed him to catch the ball on third down and whatever, and it goes off his body, and the Raiders pick it off with 8 minutes left.
Just an update before we do the picks coming up in a little bit or in a couple hours. Yeah. Dibs, you are 5-11 in your last 16.
And I'm so happy to like crack the mic and tell you that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not hot!
Great.
Hey,
okay, Lucas.
Lucas! What's up, Luke?
Including 2-6 in your last 8. Yeah.
What was that?
Dude.
What am I on the year?
On the year, you are 24-16.
24-16.
Can we just focus on the positive?
No. Do you remember?
That's 60%.
The negative for you is the positive for us, Dibs.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Lucas.
Do you remember the shows?
There
that
goes
we,
your Christmas bonus. We talked about earlier.
Remember the shows when we went to Splash twice in 1 week for the opening week of the Warriors?
Barely, but yeah.
Do you remember the one that we did outside?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was that night?
My record?
No. No. Do you remember, like, we were like, oh, wow, it's surprisingly
cold.
There you go. That's the word we're looking
for.
Yeah.
You were cold, and you demanded that the engineer and the program director get you a hoodie.
I demanded nothing. I was just
cold. I need a hoodie.
Look, sometimes when you've achieved a certain thing in life and you just say, I'm cold, people start running around to fix it. I didn't ask for anything. But I ended up with a Valkyries hoodie.
There are other times when you, I don't know, are an adult and you prepare for such things as when the sun goes down.
It was 75 degrees that day. It just so happens that splash patio is in a little wind tunnel. It's a little whippy back there. You want to find out how the Niners are 6-3?
I would love to.
Would you like to?
Can we?
Can we move on?
Let's do it.
All right. We've all asked that question. How the hell are the Niners 6-3? And then my partner over here, he went and found out.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Tell us how they're 6-3.
Well, I pinpointed it. And as you know, Mark, and for those of you in the audience on YouTube, you can see I've got right now 9 pieces of paper in front of me. I look at every game, not once, not twice, but thrice. And I've highlighted 10 plays that would tell you why the 49ers are, in fact, 6-3. And we go back to week 1 against Seattle. And it happened in an inexplicable way in the fourth quarter with Brock Purdy throwing to who?
He swung down into the end zone, wasn't open. Purdy keeping it alive. Brock Purdy lofts one. It is Tonjes! Touchdown, San Francisco! Jake Tonjes, who had never caught a pass in the NFL, has caught 3 today, including the go-ahead touchdown with 1:34 left. Wow.
That's courtesy Fox. And dude, that says it all, right?
When he first said Tonjes, I thought it was like a verb. Like, I mean, he was just like,
Who are you?
He throws it and it's Tonjes, as if it like had caught a disease as it was flying through the air. Oh, damn it. Again, thing caught Tonjes as it was going through the air.
Yeah.
But it was a person, not a person that I knew. But we know him now, and,
right.
and the Niners had the lead.
They had the lead, but it wasn't over. Jackson Smith and Jigba for
good.
11. Stout with a nice pass breakup, but JSN goes for 41 over Renardo Green. Hello, Seattle, You're in the red zone, second and four at the eight. Oh, no. Seattle's going to – they're going to find a way to win this game, aren't they?
Kubiak, first game as the OC here. Sends in a call for second and four. Darnold. Hit as he let it go. The ball is loose. The 49ers have it. It's Bosa. Nick Bosa and the 49ers closing the door on the Seahawks.
No, not Darnold.
Right. That's a four.
Sorry.
No, come on.
No.
No, you nailed it. Remember him? Nick Bosa?
I do. He used to play for the Niners.
Sack, fumble, recovery, shrug, game over. Niners win. But those are the two plays that got them to 1-0 mark in week one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I had somebody who literally works for the San Francisco 49ers say to me, 4 days later over coffee, we had no business winning that game. No business winning that game. But they did, and that's part of how they've gotten to 6-3 because somehow they got to 1-0.
Yeah, they got to 1-0, and then unfortunately in the next game, Brock out, Mac in, and you take on New Orleans, second straight road game, and they were kind of in a little bit of a scuffle until the fourth quarter.
I was expecting nothing, Dibs.
Yes, I was expecting Mac Jones to be good enough, and you got to the fourth quarter, and, well, he turned out to be good enough on this play.
Yep, no doubt about that as they find Jennings running free. Juwan Jennings going to take it in for a San Francisco touchdown. 42 yards from Jones to Jennings for six.
Yep. For six, and that put him up by 12, but nothing's that easy, Zaza Pachulia, nothing easy. The Saints would score, the Niners punt, New Orleans punts, the Niners punt, and then New Orleans gets the ball back, and you know what, Mark?
Only down by five.
Right, with the ball, and they were creeping toward the 50, and then this happened.
A first down, and the Saints' hopes continue. Fourth and two, pressure coming, ball is out, loose on the turf, diving for it is Ruiz, but it will not matter. Turnover on downs, and the San Francisco 49ers are going to get a road win in New Orleans.
You want to see an amazing pass rush, and it's not Nick Bosa that has it. It's Bryce Huff.
Bryce Huff, welcome to the team.
Yeah.
And you're bringing back good memories because we watched that one with the whole fam up in Tahoe. We went up there to see a concert. We're at Mick P's. Y'all should check out, I'm not being paid for this, Mick P's is right there on the corner on State Line, right across the street from Harvey's and Harrah's. It, man, this is one of the biggest sports bars. It's got like 1,000 TVs in there and good French fries. Go Bryce Huff.
That's awesome. And Bryce Huff coming back. So that's kind of a nice warm memory. The Niners get to 2-0, and then they take on Arizona. And as you would expect, divisional game, dogfight, Arizona scores. Late third, early fourth to tie the game, and you're thinking, oh boy, all right, this is the one that they're probably going to have to give up. And then, unfortunately, you had that hold.
The
Dominic
safety.
Pooney.
Yes, the safety. That's when it fell over for the Niners.
3:15 to go. You're down 15-13. Calais Campbell, how old are you, bro? Like
39,
you're
I think.
You're Al Horford's uncle,
yeah, I think. He's still producing, though.
Super old. So, yep. All right, Arizona, all you have to do is get a first down, and you win. That'd be a bummer. And then third and nine, you decide to throw it, and they threw it, and the Niners were up to it.
They are going to throw it. Murray wants it all, and it is incomplete. Zay Jones could not hold on, and Upton Stout, the rookie, delivers the blow to force fourth down.
I'll never forget Upton
Courtesy
Stout.
Courtesy Fox as well.
Yeah, Courtesy Fox. Upton Stout was one of the players where we got to hear the phone call when he was drafted. Now, I think half the players in the league do this, but it just stuck in my mind because it's proven to be true. He kept saying to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, sir, you just got yourself a dog. You just got yourself a dog. And you know what? He's right. This kid is undersized. He's not always in the right place as a rookie, but he is a scrappy little player out there in the defensive backfield, and no play for him this year has been bigger than that one.
That was huge, and then Arizona punts. It's a touchback. Niners get it at the 20. They work their way, thanks to, in part, a CMC screen. They work it all the way down to the 16-yard line. And Eddie Pinheiro. And you win 16-15. A loss against Jacksonville. You're 3-1, but there's brighter days ahead.
And by the way, tip of the cap to Marvin Harrison Jr. You didn't make the list, but you should have, because you had two non-plays that helped the Niners win that game against the Cardinals. Dude, if you're going to come after Troy Franklin, I'm going to come after Marvin Harrison Jr. Dude, you dropped the ball. But we won't drop the ball. We're going to remind you that you're listening.
Time for the legal.
Thank you. 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Don't forget, this is a Football Friday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.